separate the two. If you love the right, the Lord will give you light. So seek the right in everything you do.
Song. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Psalms. And let's just be sure to pray in regards to this message. I was intended to preach something else. And the Lord, it seemed like it's impressed me with this. Especially, I heard Brother Bill pray about the blessings and remembering all that God has done for us and what God is doing for us. And then we hear the song, Springs of Living Water. Amen. I'd like for us to, first of all, let's have just a word of prayer, and then we'll read some verses. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that we have to come to the house of God, this beautiful, this wonderful, glorious Lord's Day. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we sit at the Word of God, we do sit at the fount of living water, because we hear of our blessed Savior. And Father, I pray that you would help us in our life to glorify and honor you and lift up our Savior in every part of our life and everything that we do, that we can serve thee with reverence and godly fear. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the reading of the Word of God tonight, and you would use it to strengthen your people. And Lord, that we can rejoice in the Lord. And Father, I would ask you for this preacher, that you would so give me that filling of the Holy Spirit of God, the unction of the Holy One, to fill me to the uttermost, I pray. And I thank God he undertakes for me. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You know, we think much of revival, of course. We've talked about revival in the past, but and this is not necessarily going to be about revival. But we can never have revival unless we begin to look at what God has already done for us. And all the blessings he has that he's bestowed upon us, I believe. The Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 68 and verse 19. And this is, and we're not going to stay here, but we're going to use this for just a moment. Psalm 68 and in verse 19, the Word of God says, Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Now, of course, we understand that the greatest benefits that we have is the lifting of our burdens in salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And then he says, Selah, at the end. That's a rest, or it's basically in the song of the Psalms, we would say that it says rest, or think about it. Think about what God has just said in these verses, the prior and here. Blessed be the Lord. You know, we find many times in our lives, it's naturally hard for us to bless the Lord, isn't it? Sometimes things come our way and it's hard for us to say, blessed be the Lord. But we must do that. And I want us to turn then and also to Psalm 103, if you would. Psalm 103. And notice the psalmist says in Psalm 103, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then in verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember, we just read that he daily loads us with benefits. But now he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As we go on and read in these verses, we see in verse 3 and verse 4, and he gives a list of some things, and we'll go through these in just a bit. But if you'll notice in verse 20, verse 19, it says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now he starts and finishes this psalm with the phrase, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to talk to you about counting our blessings. Counting our blessings. And notice he says, we saw here in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Don't let it get out of your memory. Let it get out of your mind what God has done for you. When we have things that come into our lives that we certainly never order in our life and we would never ask for in our life, many times when those things happen, we have a tendency to forget what God has already done for us, don't we? And we seem to focus in on whatever that is that seemed to be what we think to be a detriment to us or a danger to us. But he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is a hymn of praise, and this hymn of praise is without any measure against it or any equal in all the world's literature. It is the language of a man who has stirred up his soul to just think about and contemplate the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God to him. Could you just think for just a moment how God has been so faithful to you? How God has so blessed you, blessed us. Now from the beginning to the end, there's no thought in this psalm of sorrow. There's no thought of complaint or selfishness, but rather an overflowing of thanksgiving to what God has done. And indeed, this psalm has been compared to a stream which gradually acquires strength as it begins to run and it gains volume until the waves of praise just swell out into the sea. I remember years ago as a lad of a boy in Tennessee in the hills, there used to be a place up in the mountains where we would go. We would in the summertime especially, we would just go all the time. We would be outside when school was out. We'd be running the hills and all of this. And there was a place up in the mountains that the water ran out of a rock. That was the greatest tasting water that I've ever tasted. It was always cold. I mean, it was hot outside, but it was always cool to the drink. Oh, and it tasted, oh, it was so great. That water would trickle on down, and then it would go into a stream, then it would go into the creek. And then, of course, that creek would run on and down, and then, of course, I'm sure somewhere it would go into the Tennessee River, and then it would go, that would eventually go up in the ocean, or go down in the ocean. But that's what this psalm builds on with all the blessings of God, what God has done for us. Have you stopped to think today what God's done for you? Just what God has done in our lives. Now the psalmist reminds us that with thankful hearts, we would count all of our blessings. And with thankful hearts, we would not forget all the benefits that He daily loads upon us. Now, the idea is that, notice He says loads. He loads on us. Now, the problem with sinful man is we are loaded down with sin, right? But He takes that and He daily loads us with benefits, takes the sin away through salvation and replaces it with His benefits day by day. So how is it that we are to count our blessings? First of all, let me say, as we go back to verse 1, we would do that by remembering or eulogizing, if you would, the attributes of God, what God has done. Notice He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." It was A.W. Tozier who said this. He said he was a worshiper, one whose heart was fixed on God continually, who wanted to know Him more than he wanted anything else in life. His work and his ministry, his preaching, his writing, his personal and public life all revolved around five words. And those five words are, as in the book of the Revelation 22 and verse 8, "I fell down to worship." I fell down to worship. And sometimes he would kneel with his face lifted up. Other times he would lie down straight on the floor with a piece of paper underneath his face, preventing any dust from the floor or the carpet. But he realized, "I fell down to worship. I fell down to worship." You know, we always look about building ourselves up, don't we? But he said, "I fell down to worship." So first of all, we would see that for us to count our blessings, we must eulogize the attributes of God, what God has done for us. And all of, but basically, God, His attribute of faithfulness, His attribute of forgiveness, the attribute of mercy that flows from our God, the attribute of that, as I said, of forgiveness, the attribute of majesty of the great God that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then secondly, I want you to notice in verse 2, we should count our blessings by itemizing the benefits of God. Now, I'm sure that if I were to ask anyone, "What do you see wrong with the pastor?" I'm sure that we could give an itemization of all the things we find wrong. Would to God we could find some things that were right. But when we think about our God, we can't find anything wrong with Him. Nothing at all. And notice he says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, if I don't forget, I can list them. I can, I'm thinking that after I got saved, or when I got saved, I asked God to forgive me being a sinner, and then that day I did not remember all of my sins. But as the days went on, and God would bring to my mind things that He had forgiven me of, then and touch my heart about things, I would ask for God to forgive me. But here he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Oh, how many times are we prone to forget the benefits of God? Oh, what He's done. When the clock went off this morning, the great benefit was that we heard the clock. The great benefit was that we have another day. The great benefit was that God sustained us through the night and gave us life again today. But the great benefit from that is the day that He saved us. One of the evidences of the havoc of sin that is caused in our lives is that we are creatures of forgetfulness. Miss Judy will say, don't forget to do so-and-so. And what do? I forget to do so-and-so. And she says, well, you better write this down. No, I'll remember it. And then what do, Deborah? I forget it. I knew you would forget it. Why didn't you write it down? And I'm sure I'm the only one like that. But that is one of the problems with the fall. We are creatures of forgetfulness. We forget what God has done for us when He saved us. And whether it was in times of our failure or times of success, we have a tendency to overlook the constant blessings that God lavishes upon us. And I would like to begin to look at these for just a moment, if you would, in these verses, in verse 2 down to verse 7. First of all, as we look here, the first benefit is personal blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And notice this, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases and redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, and He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. I'm going to say to you, first of all, those personal blessings, the personal blessings were, first of all, is the absolution of our sins. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you realize the great sinners that we are and the great sin load upon us? When we came to Christ, those sins were forgiven. What a benefit. What a personal. I've been absolved from all of my sins. The Savior declared this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6. The Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Aren't you glad that God sent it? God sent our Savior to this world to forgive sin. Amen. So there was a personal blessing of absolution. It was the Duke of Wellington that was about to pronounce a death sentence on a confirmed deserter. But deeply moved, the general said, I'm extremely sorry to pass such severe sentence, but we have tried everything and all the discipline and the penalties have failed to improve this man who is otherwise a brave and good soldier. Then he gave the man's comrades an opportunity to speak out for him. Please, Your Excellency, one man said, there is one thing that you have never tried. You have not tried forgiving him. You know, folks, in our own lives, if we're not careful as the days go by in our life, there'll be things rise up and things happen. If we're not careful, we'll never be able to forgive. And the general forgave him, and it worked. The soldier never again deserted. And ever after, he showed his gratitude to the Iron Duke, the Duke of Wellington. So there's absolution. God absolved us from our sin. But then notice, in verse 3, restoration. The Word of God says, He who healeth all thy diseases, He restores us. You know, the 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you turn with me, please, and just to the book of Galatians. Galatians Galatians chapter 6. I want you to notice this in Galatians chapter 6. And this has in regard to healing, but it has to do with how we're supposed to handle that with other people as well. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Notice in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." The little word "restore" here is a medical term, a term that indicates to us the setting of a broken bone or a joint that is out of place. And he tells us that we should restore such a one. But thank God, do you realize what God did for you and God did for me? He restored us as though we had never sinned, and we got saved. But then notice in verse 4, not only was there absolution and there was a restoration, in verse 4 we see he said, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." By the way, in our King James Bible, the little ETH at the end of the word always means a continual action. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." I would say to you, this is elevation. "Who redeemeth our life from destruction." When something has been destroyed, it's torn down. But what happens is, the great benefit is that we in salvation have been elevated. The Word of God tells us in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1 and 2, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." He elevated me. He brought me up out of that. I don't walk around in the muck and the mire anymore. That's an evidence of one that's been saved. Over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 6, the Word of God says, And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And raised us up. Elevated us. But then I want you to notice in verse 4 as well, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Here is coronation. We talk about the crown that's on the head, coronation. Now, many of us would like to have the coronation to maybe the king of a great domain, a king of England, a queen of England. By the way, and probably there's going to be a vacancy there not too long. But the crown, but here he said, notice it says that he crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The psalmist says in Psalm 8 in verse 5, he said, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hath crowned him with glory and honor." Then Revelation 1 and verse 6 says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God our Father and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." But notice he crowning us with loving kindness and tender mercy. You know, I didn't have any loving kindness before I got saved. Before I got saved, I could give a rip about you. Hey, and that's the same way it was. That's a two-way street. You know, it is a two-way street. Oh, and tender mercies. But the tender mercies, the mercies the way you would handle a small child, a newborn child. I remember when Wendy was born, and she was just a little tiny thing. And by the way, she's still just a little tiny thing. She just, her feet now are just about like that, and she's full of crumb. Anyway, she's just little, you know, just a little tiny thing, and I would hold her. And then Judy, her mom would pick her up, and she would carry her on her hip, you know, and you know, she'd hold her, you know. But I'm holding her real tender. But even in when Judy was holding her, there were still those tender mercies. She's careful not to hurt her when she would hold her. Oh, but he says that we've been crowned with tender mercies and loving kindness. That's an attribute of God, I believe, don't you? But then notice also in these verses, he's crowned us with satisfaction. He says in verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Satisfy thy mouth with good things. Didn't he tell us, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You know, you have to be careful what you say. That's why this scares me. You have to be careful. But there was a father and his little girl were walking together one night, and the little girl said, "Dad, I'm going to count all the stars." And the father heard her count to 200, and then 25. Then he heard her sigh and said, "Oh, dear, I had no idea there were so many. I don't believe I can ever count them all." And the wise dad said, "The stars are just like God's benefits. God showers us with his benefits and his blessings day by day. There are so many of them that we can never count them all. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done." But you know what we do? We count our many defeats, and it'll surprise us what the devil does. So we see, first of all, personal blessings. But then verse 6 and verse 7 again, national blessings. Notice, first of all, God's justice. He said the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And he maketh known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. We see God's justice. Folks, I'm going to ask you, I want to say to you and ask you to begin to pray for national blessings. We need national blessings. God's blessed our nation for sure, so much and so greatly. But we need to ask God for a reprieve. We need to admit that we've sinned in America. We need to admit that we've been cold and indifferent as Christians. And we need to count our blessings and ask God to be merciful to our nation again. God has executed his justice, and he says that the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And he's made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. So first of all, the national blessings were God's justice. When justice called, mercy answered. And that brings us to the next thing, mercy. His great, the national blessing of mercy in our land. In verse 9 and 10, we see the mercy of God's patience. He says he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad of that? The mercy of God's patience. Then verse 11 and 12, notice this. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The mercy of God's pardon. Aren't you glad he pardoned us? Oh, that day in 1971, God pardoned this sinner and said, you can go free. You're free of all that against you. You're free. But then notice in verse 13, likewise as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Then in verse 14, and all the way down to verse 18, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, and as flower of the field, so it flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Folks, God pity, the mercy of God's pity. You realize that one of these days, the wind is going to blow over the flower of our being, and we will be no more. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. And we never know when it's going to happen, do we? Could be sooner than later. But oh, to know the mercy of God's patience with us. The mercy of God's pardon in our life, and the mercy of God's pity. He has pity on us. He knows our frame. He knows no matter how big and strapping we may be or how weak we may appear, he knows our frame. He knows our frame. But then notice in verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. The mercy of God's power. During the colonial days, the British settlements in New England were, when they were under constant attack from the French, that's why I'd rather have tater tots than French fries. When we were in constant attack from the French, I know I'm going to hear about that. One day, word came that the mighty armada of 40 ships was setting out for Nova Scotia to conquer the colonies and to claim the territory of New England for France. And the forefathers, our pious forefathers, called a day of repentance and prayer. In the old South Church in Boston, they laid hold of God. And while they were praying, the wind suddenly sprang up. And the group pleaded with the Almighty God and our Creator that the wind might be utilized for the destruction of the invading fleet. The wind grew into a mighty storm and then into a hurricane, so powerful that the invaded armada, under the command of Duke Danville, found a watery grave along the rock-bound coast of New England. Oh, the mercy of God's power. Folks, we better ask. We better beg God for His mercy. We better beg Him for His power once again. But then, not only should we itemize His benefits to us and eulogize the attributes of God, but let me say that we must recognize the purposes of God. In this psalm, verse 20 down to verse 22, we must recognize the purposes of God. The psalmist climaxes his anthem of praise here by calling upon the angels in heaven and men on the earth to recognize the purposes of God throughout His universe and throughout time and eternity. No one can appreciate the attributes and benefits of God without desiring, above everything else, to advance the purposes of God. When, how do we do that? First of all, we do it in verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. I would say to you, first of all, by obeying God's word. The archangels in heaven who excel in strength are engaged unceasingly in obeying the word of their God. We need to remember this when we pray, that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," Matthew 6:10. A thankful heart always issues in an abundant life, an obedient life. To obey is to better than sacrifice, the Word of God says, and to heed than the fat of rams, 1 Samuel 15:22. But in recognizing the purposes of God, not only must we obey, be willing to obey the Word of God, verse 21, notice this, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure." We should be willing to fulfill God's will. Paul tells us that the ultimate expression of total dedication to the Lord is that of proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. That's the only way that we can please our Lord and live to His glory. But then thirdly, if you'll notice in verse 22, bless the Lord all his works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We recognize the purposes of God by performing God's work. God has a reason for leaving us. God has a reason for leaving us on this earth. God has a reason for this church and all Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches. God has a purpose, and we must perform God's work. Here, the psalmist has in mind the material universe, including the race of men, and he calls upon every creature of the earth to perform his appointed task. The Word of God tells us in the book of Mark 13, verse 34, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." When Christ left this earth, He left us with a purpose, and that's to take the gospel. Your neighbors, your family, my family, our friends, and all the people around us need Christ. They need Christ more than they need anything else. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us, he says, "For ye are His workmanship, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, in concluding, I'm going to say, in counting our blessings, it's more than just mouthing the words or even saying prayers. We were so reminded tonight as Brother Bill prayed for us to remember what God has done for us. remember our blessings. And it involves eulogizing the attributes of God, itemizing the benefits of God, and recognizing the purposes of God. A thankful life not only blesses God, but he goes forth to obey God's word and to fulfill God's will and to perform God's work. God help us to do that in this place, that we could be faithful to him. May God help us. Amen? Amen. Amen. God grant it to be so. Would you stand, please, and we'll be dismissed. Our Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us and for all of your blessings. Lord, we could never begin to list all the blessings of God that you've bestowed upon us. But Father, help us to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget all the blessings of God. The blessings you've bestowed upon us, but help us, Lord, to realize that it's not without purpose, that you have a purpose in our life. And you've left us here to present the gospel, that men, women, boys, and girls can come to know Christ as Savior. Help us to be faithful, Lord, I pray. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, for our nation. We ask you, Lord, to show yourself strong. We have an election coming up, and Lord, we have an election that we feel, and it's obvious that the state of our nation is in the balance. And Father, there are those who would so like to undermine the work of God in this country. They would love to destroy this country. But Father, I pray that you put a stay upon them and stop them. And Father, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to be the citizens of this great country that you've given us. Secondarily, because first of all, we want to be great citizens of our home in heaven, of the great country to which we're going when we leave here. And Father, we'll praise and thank you for what you do. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless our president and the leaders of our nation. We pray, Lord, that a sense of sound, sober thinking would arrest their souls and their minds. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, and Lord, that you'd turn their hearts toward the things of God, and Lord, that you would protect our nation, that we can serve you in reverence and godly fear. Forgive us where we failed you, and Lord, help us to be faithful to you in all things, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good evening. Early voting begins tomorrow.